وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshroud you in his mercy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the khidmat of deen that you are making. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. كتب عليكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين فمن بدله بعدما سمعه فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلونه إن الله سميع عليم فمن خاف من موص جنفا أو إثما فأصلح بينهم فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, "It has been made incumbent upon you when death presents itself before any of you, to make a bequest in favor of your parents and close relatives if you leave any wealth behind. This is obligatory upon those who have fear of Allah. So whoever alters it after hearing it, then the sin rests upon those who alter. Verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Whoever fears any partiality or sin from the testator, then reconcile between them. Upon him rests no sin. Verily Allah is most forgiving, most merciful." Now we discuss the laws of the bequest. This verse issues the instruction which makes the leaving of a bequest in favor of parents and close relatives compulsory. When the signs of death become apparent on a person, he should make this bequest. Commentators maintain that the compulsion of this matter was abrogated after the fixed shares of the various heirs were stipulated. The shares of parents were also designated as mentioned in the second ruku of Surah Nisa. A bequest in favor of an heir is not permissible unless all the other heirs permit it. Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood record a hadith wherein the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that there can be no bequest in favor of an heir. The permission of the other heirs is only legitimate if it is given after the testator's death. Once their permission is acquired, the bequest will be valid. Bequeathing something in favor of any relatives besides the heirs is not only permissible but recommended. The condition of a bequest, though, is that it may not exceed a third of the estate. It is best for a person to bequeath less than a third. Should he wish to, he may go up to a maximum of one third. This third will be calculated from the wealth remaining after paying all his debts. Should the wasiya and bequest exceed one third, it may be fulfilled only with the consent of all mature heirs. Then too, this consent is to be given after the death of the testator. Any consent given during his or her lifetime will be rendered null and void. If any heir had consented during the testator's lifetime, he is at liberty to withdraw this consent after the testator's death. Similarly, the testator himself may withdraw and cancel any previous made bequests. The best approach is that a person continue spending in all good causes during his lifetime, together with spending freely upon his family. He should also spend on his friends, relatives, orphans and destitute. Attention should also be given to the building of masjids and institutes like madrasas and bequeathing land for their establishment. The payment of debts precedes the fulfillment of a bequest. The first condition of a bequest is that it be taken from that third of the wealth which remains after all debts have been paid from the estate. Anything exceeding a third will only be fulfilled if the heirs allow it. They may or may not agree. For this reason, it is best for one to spend in good causes while still alive. At the same time, it should not be such that a person neglects his own family. He should not be helping others while leaving his very own kith and kin in need. It should also not occur that he spends freely in all charitable causes while his debts keep accumulating. It could occur that a person was not able to spend in any charities before his death. Then at the final hour, he makes certain bequests, forgetting his debts. In this case as well, it will be the debts which shall receive prior attention. If the debts are so much that they consume all the wealth, then legacies will not be fulfilled, nor will any inheritance be distributed amongst the heirs. In the execution of a bequest, the faraid and obligatory things will receive precedence. Examples of these are the obligatory hajj, which he may not have performed, or zakah, which he was still owing, or wajib kafara, compulsory atonement still pending. All of these will have to be paid first. If the deceased had made a bequest for anything which was not obligatory, then too these obligations and faraid will receive precedence, even though he made intention of the non-obligatory duties before the obligatory ones. The bequest for a Hajjul Badal. As already mentioned, the bequest will only be fulfilled after all debts have been settled. Even though the bequest be with regard to any of the obligations, the faraid or compulsory and wajibat ex, if the testator bequeaths that someone performs the obligatory hajj on his behalf, called Hajjul Badal, but the funds are insufficient, then the mature heirs may consent to the balance being extracted from the estate. However, this is not binding upon them, although it will be the best. The ruling, this Hajjul Badal will be performed by a person from the same town as the deceased, as he chooses. However, should the funds fall short and the heirs are not willing to subsidize the balance, another person may be sent whose location is closer to Makkah Mukarramah. In this manner, the remaining funds would suffice since transport and perhaps other expenses will be less. It is not permissible to execute a sinful bequest. Should a person bequeath some wealth to be spent in a sinful cause, it must not be executed. If he makes a legacy for something to give towards any acts of polytheism and shirk or religious innovations and bid'ah, this too will be ignored. It is a binding duty upon his associates and heirs not to execute such bequests. It is also an act of merit to leave some wealth behind for one's heirs. It is narrated in Bukhari Sharif that Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "During the year of the conquest of Makkah, I fell so seriously ill that I feared I was to die. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to visit me, I told him, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I possess much wealth, but have only one daughter as an heir. Should I not bequeath all my wealth in charity?" He replied in the negative, to which I said, "Then two-thirds." Again he replied in the negative, to which again I queried half. Once again he refused. I finally said, "Then one-third." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, you may bequest one-third, but this is also too much. Definitely, it is much better for you to leave your heirs wealthy rather than leave them destitute, having to stretch their hands out before others. Most surely, you will receive the reward for everything you spend in search of Allah's pleasure, even it be a morsel of food that you place in your wife's mouth." One should not delay in drawing up a will. Living in this world, man is in constant contact with his fellow human beings. He has to give or take from everyone else, because of which various types of incumbent rights will apply. He may need to take loans or things may be placed in his trust. Since none knows when death will overtake him, it is of great importance that one should always have one's will ready. In this, all obligations should be recorded, such as the rights owed to others, like debts, trusts, etc. Personal obligations, such as outstanding faraiz and other wajibat, should also be noted. In keeping this at hand, a person's successors will be able to fulfill all of these obligations should death arrive. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "It is incorrect for even two nights to pass without a written testament and will by the side of a person from whom some rights are due." Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The person who dies after making his last will and testament will have died upon the right path, the sunnah, piety, martyrdom, and a state of forgiveness." The sin of altering the bequest. Once a person has died leaving a bequest, it will be incumbent upon the heir's appointed executors, judge, or ruler, whichever may be applicable, to fulfill the bequest according to the principles of Sharia. Since the testator has left the world and no longer has any choice in matters, those surviving him, who now has jurisdiction over his wealth, have to ensure that each one receives their allotted share from the bequest. No rightful recipient should be deprived. Certain beneficiaries, like distant relatives or the poor, may not even know about their shares and will therefore not even claim it. It is only those who control the estate who are able to give or withhold, give more or less, or even conceal certain facts. The responsibility of distribution rests squarely upon their shoulders. They should keep the hereafter before them in mind when doing anything. No changes and alterations should be made to the legacy. Should they make any, they will be sinning and be questioned in the hereafter. This warning is sounded in the verse, "So whoever alters it after hearing it, then the sin rests upon those who alter." Allama Abu Bakr Jassas rahmatullah alayhi writes in Ahkam al-Quran that it is gathered from this verse that if a person dies after having left behind his will and bequest together with sufficient funds to sustain them, then he has fulfilled his responsibility. It is now the responsibility of his successors to conclude further matters. Should they be negligent in this regard, the sin will be theirs. Alteration to the original legacy is also considered to be negligence. He further writes that if a person dies without paying the zakat due from him, he will be sinful and considered to be of those who refuse to pay zakat. If this person bequeathed that his zakat be paid and his executor does not pay it, the deceased will be absolved of the sin, which will now rest with the executor, since he will be deemed to have changed the bequest. However, if there exists some injustice in the will, example, all the wealth or more than a third was bequeathed without the consent of the heirs, then it is compulsory that it be altered accordingly. Whoever fears any partiality or sin from the testator, then reconcile between them. Upon him rests no sin. It frequently occurs that the testator, either intentionally or erroneously, displays partiality towards a certain heir or relative when drawing up the will. As a result of this, injustice takes place. If any person learns of this occurrence or of his pending occurrence, there will be no sin on him should he reconcile and rectify the situation between the testator and the beneficiaries. In the case where the testator has already left the world, the person who has authority over the estate may alter the will so that it complies with the Sharia. This will also not bring any sin to him, and Allah will forgive such an alteration. This person will not be regarded as whoever alters it. Commentators have described several incidents where the bequest may be unjust. Amongst these, The situation is where distant relatives are made beneficiaries while near ones are excluded. Another example is where a grandchild is allotted some wealth, even though his father is to receive a share, upon the pretext that the child is not an heir. This is done so that the father of that particular child receives more than his brothers. Other examples are the bequeathing of all or more than a third of the estate. The person who advises on these unjust cases, thereby rectifying them, will not be sinful of changing a legacy. With the specific intention of depriving their daughters or other heirs, some people during their lifetime transfer their properties on the names of other heirs, such as their sons. This is also a form of unjust bequest, resulting in the person committing a sin. It is not permissible to give something to anyone with the intention of depriving an heir. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "A man or woman may live in the obedience of Allah for 60 years, but upon their demise, they would have hurt someone by their bequest, then hell becomes compulsory for them." After narrating this hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala recited the following verse from Surah Nisa. "After deducting the said bequest or debts without harming anyone, and that is the supreme triumph." Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, "Allah will sever that person's inheritance to heaven, Jannah, who severs any portion of the inheritance of his heirs." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us be just in the distribution of our wealth, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making a will before our death. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.